Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Hello, gents. Yeah, 90. That's a 92 win pace. I don't know. Maybe people are disappointed by that, but I think a lot of people would take 92. Think that puts them in contention for a postseason spot.
Oh, you shouldn't be disappointed at 92 wins. Hey, anytime you get over 90 wins and somehow if you don't make the postseason, can't sneeze at 90 wins, my friend.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, they certainly can play better. The thing that was early on that stood out was the pitching. You just mentioned Gio Gonzalez going tonight. For whatever reason, his arrival has stabilized things, not just for that spot, because he's pitched pretty well, but the other guys have kind of come around. I mean, Zach Davies was going already. He's the major league leader in ERA. But the guy who's really come on has been Brandon Woodruff. That was really good stuff the other day. I think, you know, I don't know if people were kind of in Bucks mode on Sunday. It was a road game, so, you know, a weekend game where people had things going on. And Keston Hiura hits his first home run. I think that took some of the spotlight. But Brandon Woodruff was, I mean, that was as good an outing as you will see in the major leagues. It was, you know, he hit 99. He was throwing 95, 96 in the eighth inning. Got through eight, which barely ever happens anymore. It was really dominant stuff from Brandon Woodruff, and he's come on. I think, Bart, wasn't it you who we talked about the Yasmani Grandal quote maybe a month ago in St. Louis, where Grandal was looking at all the trouble they were having in the pitching staff, and he said of Brandon Woodruff in particular, he's like, this guy is right on the edge. He's going to start doing better. I know it. And it's kind of come to pass.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I sorry, Bart. I thought that was he was talking to you there on Grandal. You know, as far as...
I mean, all I would have said was, yep, it was me.
Oh, okay. I thought I didn't know if you'd respond. Our first miscommunication in 4 years of us doing these remotes. I will say, Josh Hader, is it a little disturbing that the guy's giving up home run balls?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, it's his numbers are weird, so... He is, I believe, fifth in the majors among relievers in opponent's batting average. He's given up 9 hits, and it is May 19th, 20th, 20, whatever it is. He's given up 9 hits.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that's good. He's not giving up any hits. 5 of the 9 have cleared the fence, which is just weird. And, you know, I asked Craig Counsell that, and anytime Josh Hader comes up when he gives up a run in a post game, Counsell's answer is it's just kind of ridiculous to even ask a Josh Hader question, because when you stand back and look at it, he's been so good. And, you know, I just said that the ratio of home runs to hits isn't something to think about. And his response was, I'm not going to recommend Josh make any changes. And, you know, I think that's, he's not wrong. I mean, the guy is pitching at a really high level. He's given up more home runs as a ratio to hits lately than he has in his career. He's given up 2 home runs to left-handed hitters. In his first 2 years, he gave up 1 to Anthony Rizzo. Now, those hitters are Cody Bellinger and Freddie Freeman. So, again, it's like, okay, you know, those are like MVP candidates. Freddie Freeman's an MVP candidate every year. Cody Bellinger has been better than Christian Yelich this year. So, I don't know. It's something that's a little odd. As Josh Hader said the other day, it's the danger of pitching up in the zone. It's the danger of, because you have one of the best fastballs in baseball, of challenging hitters with that fastball. And I think it's something like 87.5% of the time he's winning the battle, because I think the opponent's average is 125. So 87.5% of the time, it's getting the job done. The other 12.5%, the guy's getting a hit. And then in a half of that, it's a home run. So I don't know. It's certainly something that's weird because we haven't seen it before. But I think Craig Counsell is probably right that if Josh Hader just keeps doing what he's doing, and even if giving up some home runs, by the end of it, they're going to be really happy with his performance.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, at Adam McKelvey on social media. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola, on the web at MorolaLaw.com. A guy that I know we've talked about a lot has been Jimmy Nelson. I sort of refer to him as the brewer that cried wolf, because every time it seems like he's ready to come back, something always comes up. Well, right now, Jimmy's looking good. His last outing, 5 2/3, 8 strikeouts, was decent at the plate. Some of his off-speed stuff looks very good from Jimmy Nelson. If this isn't the time after 2 years that he doesn't come back, then I can't think there will ever be a time, because it looks like he appears to be ready when the Brewers are ready for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to pitch again Thursday. I talked to him the other day as he was driving home to Houston to spend some days with the family, because that next outing is in Round Rock, Texas. So it's all within driving distance for him, which has worked out really nice with the thing, you know, with the family and the twins being born early, and that being on his mind. It's been, I know, helpful for him to be able to be there for as much of that as he can. It's allowed him to focus on his pitching. Craig Counsell says after Thursday, it's time to make a decision. That means, I think that means, is it time to put him back in the rotation? Because every time I've asked about whether they would consider a bullpen role for Jimmy Nelson as a way to kind of, you know, manage innings, let him kind of go, you know, let it eat, as they say, for a couple of, you know, 2-inning stints or so, I'm told no, that they view him as, that they're going to use him as a starting pitcher. Part of that is routine. You guys know Jimmy Nelson. You've seen him before games. This is my 19th season. I've never seen a player more in tune to routine than Jimmy Nelson. It is extremely important to him. So that's probably one of the reasons why they like him on a schedule where he can know his duties for the day. I think he's probably a guy who thrives in that situation. And part of it is, as you said, the stuff looks really good. And look, I mean, I think the curveball, slider, the stuff that we see on video, it's different than what we saw in 2017 when he was good. The fastball is a little different, too. It's not the same fastball. But if that breaking stuff is better and he's a more knowledgeable pitcher and he's got this appreciation for the game that he talks about being away from it for as long as he has, I mean, there's a chance that he could be really good. And you know, look, I think he's maybe passed these tests. And it is time to bring him back. The hard part is, it's not like things were 3 weeks ago where you had all these starting spots in flux and this rotation was really floundering and you needed the infusion of a Gio Gonzalez. Now he encounters a rotation that's going really good. I mean, I don't think they're not going to do anything with Gio, Spot, Davies, or Woodruff. Those guys are pitching as well as you can pitch. Don't think they're going to do something with Jolie Chacin. Spot, he's your opening day starter. A veteran guy, had such a big year for you last year, pitched the important games in game 163 at Wrigley. And Chase Anderson has pitched well when he's been a starting pitcher. So I guess it would be that Chase spot if you're going to bring in Jimmy Nelson. They're in a period now where they have some off days. So I don't think you're going to go a six. So it's going to be a matter of where do you fit him in. That's going to be the trick, I think, when he comes back. But look, you invested all this time, 19 months now, is it, since he went down? If it's time for him to pitch, I think there is something to be said for seeing what you got. And I would think that's at the major league level. Because, look, the other alternative is let him keep pitching at the minor leagues and just pitch really well for 3-4 more starts. But I think when Craig Counsell says it's decision time, I think he means the major leagues. So I think they're going to have to find a way to wedge him in that rotation and see what he can do. And I think we might be, you know, 9 or so, 10 days away from seeing that happen.
Is Keston Hira here to stay regardless if he struggles?
Well, look, I did a thank you for the segue, Chuck. There's a fine inbox on Brewers.com right now, where I tried to answer some questions. And this was the first one, and I put it first, even though I don't know the answer, because I think it's the most interesting thing that's going to happen over the next week or so. Travis Shaw is going to take BP today, then go out on a minor league rehab tomorrow, assuming nothing goes wrong. Normally, that would just be a couple of days for a guy who's been out as short a period as Travis Shaw has. Obviously, his situation is different because he's been so bad this year offensively, as he admits himself. Keston Hira is not just some random call-up from AAA. He is their top prospect and one of their best prospects in a really long time. A really good offensive prospect and a right-handed bat, which is something that they sort of can use right now. So what happens when Shaw's ready to go? Look, I stared at this yesterday, and I can't figure out a way to keep Hira and bring Shaw back unless you bring Shaw back into the Eric Thames role and just cut ties with Eric Thames. But Eric Thames has actually done pretty well in that role. Pinch hitting is really hard, and results are, for the best guys, not very good. But you look at Eric Thames' production, and he's been pretty good. And I think they like what he does as kind of that lefty platoon mate with Jesus Aguilar. So I don't know. I don't know how this works. In past years, I would say when you call up a guy the caliber of Keston Hira, you don't send him back down. Those rules are a little more blurry now with the way they move players up and down. So I can't even tell you that as a guideline. I don't know. And I am curious to see how they handle it. It could be the simplest answer, which is Shaw's ready to come back. You bring him back and you give him a shot because he's so important to what you do as an offense when he's right. And you just don't want to give up on that. And that may mean Keston Hira goes back down for a while. And continues to hit at AAA until you need him again. I'm as curious as you guys are to see how they play that.
Did they lose a year of eligibility with him for arbitration by bringing him up? I never know when the date is on that.
No, and it's not a year of its eligibility. It's adding a year for the player of arbitration eligibility. So instead of 3 years where you were paid like based on your peers, it's 4 years that you're paid based on your peers. So it basically, it's a matter of costing. At this point, it's a matter of costing the team more money in salary. And that deadline, it's the top 17% of players in this players with 2+ years of service. So there's not like a firm date where you can say, okay, here we go. He's no longer eligible for that. You have to look at where other players are called up and what other teams are doing as well. And there's been this spate of big call-ups lately where all these prospects are getting called up. And that makes me think teams think they're past that deadline. But
so they don't even know?
Even if it's close, if you do option them back down, that would also protect you against that and, potentially save you a couple million dollars on a player.
So they call them up and don't even know if it's going to hit that or not?
Well, no, if you call them up early because it's the top 17 player, the top 17% of players with 2+ years of major league service are eligible for an extra year of arbitration eligibility, which means you go into that system where instead of the team saying, here's what we're going to pay you a couple thousand dollars above the minimum, players who are arbitration eligible get paid based on what their peers have made of similar ability. So Travis Shaw, for example, went from making about $500K to making $4 million or whatever it was in his first year of arbitration eligibility. So that's the difference when you get to this point of the season. So it's not that you lose a year. It's not that a player gets to free agency earlier when we get to this stage. It's just that teams will have to pay him more. But again, I think that so many teams have called up players makes me think that they feel safe at this point.
Does this make sense? I like sports when it's about numbers.
Yeah.
I don't like sports when it's about math.
No, I know. And it's weird because every sport is so different. I mean, sometimes you guys talk about NBA free agency and honestly, I have no idea how
that's
works.
So confusing.
And it's a total mystery to me. And yeah. So yeah, it's, hey, the old days of guys having jobs in the off season and getting paid peanuts. I mean, those were the good old days in terms of figuring it out, but maybe not so fair for the players.
All right. The trade deadline is still several months away. Do you think the Brewers have in the back of their mind and their forethinking, maybe like in the next several weeks or so, some of the guys they might be scouting that they might be interested in and maybe an area they may have an area of need with on the Brewers?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be the bullpen. I don't think that should surprise anyone because David Stearns, the last 2 years, as they've been competitive, if you think about it, he's added multiple bullpen arms in each of the last 2 years. It was Swarzak and Jeremy Jeffress in 2017. Remember Jeremy Jeffress coming back? Mm-hmm. And then last year it was Joakim Soria was kind of the big one. But then they picked up Jordan Lyles in a waiver deal in early August, and he wasn't like a prominent part of that bullpen, but it was a bullpen arm that they picked up. So, I think that shows you that's an area that a contending team will add. I think it's an area for the Brewers where they're still looking for a little bit of depth and order in that area. So I don't think it should surprise anybody that would be a spot where they would look to add. And the other part of this is, not to dredge up the old rumors again, but the draft is coming up in a couple of weeks. Once you clear the draft, if you add a Craig Kimbrell, he's not subject to forfeiting a draft pick, because the draft has passed. So I think that's going to help Keuchel and Kimbrell. I think they're going to pitch this year. I'd be shocked if they're out for the entire season, as good as those players are. But that removes another hurdle to them finding deals. Now it's just money, cold hard cash that teams would have to give up to get a player like that. It wouldn't be a draft pick. So I think you're going to see a resurgence of those guys' names in the news once we clear the draft and get ahead of the trade deadline, because that's the way a team could add a player with only having to give up money and not a player in return in a trade. And what do all these teams have? Plenty of, not necessarily prospects, but they do have plenty of money.
Adam, appreciate it. We'll see you at the ballpark. Enjoy your time, and then we'll see you. I don't know what I'm saying. We'll see
you.
That was
so heartfelt.
We'll see you at the ballpark. We'll see it. Hey, Adam, appreciate it. We'll see you at the ballpark, buddy. Can't wait.
Hey, buddy, I will see you later. Give you a big hug.
Hey, Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
I feel like this game today is getting you a little off track a little
bit. Yeah, see, I'm not just cold to you. I'm cold to most people.
Cold?
Yeah, I was kind of a cold outro with Adam McKelvey there. Just wasn't as heartfelt as you would think a big, lovable teddy bear like me would be.
Well, we got a big game on tap tonight.
It's got me real nervous. Not the Bucks game, it's the Brewer game. Because my boy's in town. It's Gio Gonzalez versus my boy Sonny Gray tonight.
Oh, Sonny Gray. Yeah, I hope he gets crushed. I do. I hope he just gets shelled. Shelled at his performance, man. I do. Hope the Bucks sweep this series. Then they have another day off on Thursday. 2 days off in a week. They could definitely use that because they've had a good run here. And then the Phillies in town for Memorial Day weekend, and looking to be out there for that. Hopefully the Bucks are clinched up by then.
The much anticipated Mount Rushmore question that I have for you, Chuck.
Yeah.
Coming up. Plus, we're going to try to give you a math lesson.
Boy, math and sports should not intertwine.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I agree. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're going to do it anyway here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.